Favorite songs.
I want to read something from Isaiah 61. Is that okay?
That's okay with us, sir.
This is fun, isn't it?
Yeah. This is joy.
Oh, here it comes the joy. The spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And there is freedom, freedom for the captives. Oh, that's why we need the joy.
Everybody, and welcome to Rise Up, episode number 300. What are we on? 338, 339, episode 338 here on April 17th, year of our Lord, 2024. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for being here today. Woo! Joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart. And it's those kind of songs definitely are the songs that, I mean, opening up the Bible and like singing the words of the Bible during your pre-written song, but bringing that real-time worship into this worship song, I mean, come on. I mean, come on, is there anything better? It's like that young lady who sat at the piano, that video I played, I think I played it twice here on Rise Up, where she's singing Psalm 91 while she's playing the piano and she's flipping the pages, reading the Bible word for word while she's singing. I mean, there's nothing more fulfilling than that. There's nothing more glorious than that. And I have a story to tell you today, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll get to that. Look at that. Love it. Got my cardio in dancing. El Dooley says, that was amazing. Eileen says, amazing. River Rat, 2 weeks strong, says there's nothing better. CQ says, very heartfelt song. Truth right there. Truth right there. Good morning, Bad Moon. Good morning, Splendor Faith. Good morning, Majorva and I'm Sullivan. Good morning, Amanda Collins, Meemaw, Becky, and Majogo. It's great to see you all. And as we're approaching 10 minutes now, around 10 minutes past the hour, I just want to always start the show by saying, please make sure that you're logged in and that you can talk in the live chat and that you can click that thumbs up and that you can share out this beautiful message of God today titled Taking Compliments. And there's a few stories I need to tell you today, but one in particular that I will get to here in a couple minutes. But I just want to, again, thank you all for being here. Yesterday was a difficult day for me, and I actually left the office yesterday. I left the studio about 2:45, and I went and I picked up my son from school, and him and I went and went to the driving range and shot golf balls. And it takes about a half an hour to drive there. We were there for about an hour and a half and then a half an hour to drive back. So I got to spend some quality time with my son and just get away from the office. And yesterday was a really bad day. I let anger, finally, I think after a few months of just, you know, not even realizing that the human part of you, as much as you're experiencing joy, there's also a human part of you that you're going through. Everybody's going through a ton of things, right? I mean, the world is a very rough place to live in. It's also a very beautiful place to live in. But I had a rough day yesterday. You could probably tell during my Live from America show at 11 o'clock, 11 to 1 yesterday, I was having a rough day and I was very argumentative. And again, you know, not something that I want to be. I don't want to be that. I don't want to compare, have any comparisons to my old self whatsoever. I want to be, you know, away from that. And, you know, I had a moment of weakness yesterday where I don't know what happened. I don't even know where it happened. I didn't start the show upset. I think comments in the live chat kind of get you going sometimes. And then a lot of people say, even my wife says, well, you probably shouldn't pay too much attention to the live chat. And I said, well, honey, that's what LFA TV has always been. I can't, it's kind of like, there's no way I can't look at the live chat. It's part of my everyday routine now. It always has been. Part of my everyday routine is bringing on the live chat, showing the live chat, talking to you people, and to have the most engaged show on the internet. And it's kind of what we've always been. So it's almost impossible. Can I choose which ones I respond to and which ones I don't? 100%. 100%. But again, this show isn't really scripted in any way. Eli will tell you that. We've got notes that we write down. You know what I mean? We've got notes that we write down, but nothing is scripted. So pretty much everything is, you know, straight from the hip, cut to the chase. You know what I mean? And, you know, it was just one of those days. And I got to tell you, man, I must have spent 6 to 8 hours after the show yesterday just feeling horrible. Just feeling absolutely horrible. And even Eli says to me, he's like, The problem with you is, and he's right, he is right. He says, the problem with you is once you get going, there's no stopping you. And that's the only thing that ever has been able to stop me is the Holy Spirit, if I allow it to. But if I don't allow it to, and I allow myself to be, to go over that, you know, threshold of where I've, the threshold that I've set, you know, it is what it is. You know, anyway, I felt really, really horrible about it. And I'll probably address it again on Live from America at 11, just so I can say, you know, it probably killed me more to be the one that gets upset and yells than it does the people that I get upset and yell at. Because I just feel embarrassed. It's almost like I go back to God, you know, and because I'm an ambassador of God being a Christian. And I go back to God and God says, so how'd you do? And I say, well, I didn't represent you well. And then see that look of disappointment on God's face. That's what I felt like, you know, for like the whole day. And but I will say that going to shoot golf balls with my son and then having dinner with my wife and kids, I got to tell you, it's everything that I really needed. And then repenting last night and talking to God at 1:30 in the morning, which is part of my story that I'll get to. But I want to go to the Lord in prayer, okay? I have to make sure I don't let it get the best of me or I'm a fool, says Homeskillet. That's what I felt like. That's exactly what I felt like. You're 100% correct. I felt like a fool. I felt like an embarrassed fool. And I used to not feel that way when I get in arguments with people on the chat. I just block them and say, see you later. I'm not going to play this game. But, you know, probably just be a better person. You know what I mean? Anyway, folks, time to go to the Lord in prayer. I did title today's show Taking Compliments, right? And it is episode number 338. So if you could please join with me in prayer. Bow your heads. Focus on God. Focus on the message. Focus on the word, the show, the Godcast, all of it. And let's not give in to our impulses. And let's make sure that when we take compliments or any kind of nice words, that we direct them where they need to go. I think that's what we really need to focus on today. Okay? All right. Lord and Heavenly Father, today is a new day. And joy is in my heart, regardless of the things that are happening and even regardless of the way I act the day before. I do know every morning that when I put my feet on the ground and look up to you and smile and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this day. It's another second chance. It's another blessing. And this is the day that you've made. So I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. And you think back about the day before and you say to yourself, Lord, how can I be better? How can I not do what I did the day before that did not give you the glory, that did not glorify your name, that did not represent you well? What can I change? And you showed me that last night. You actually showed me that all day yesterday. And Father God, you showed me that last night, deep into the night hours. And I laid there at 1:30, 2 o'clock this morning with a smile on my face because I'm able to understand now how to correct myself and how to allow the Holy Spirit to work in me to make sure that I recognize what I don't want to be. And I thank you for that, Lord, so much. Today, we need to talk about taking compliments from others. We need to explain what that really means and what to really do. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit can be present with us today, that you can dwell and be present with us today on this Godcast and help us get out the message and spread the gospel, not gossip. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And what bothers me is I don't allow that kind of, behavior from myself on Rise Up. So I'm perfectly able to not allow that kind of behavior that I show because I can do it. I can do it in a work setting. I can do it at church. I can do it on Rise Up. So I definitely can do it on LFAT, on Live from America, right? So I know it's a different show. I know it's politically charged. I know people have, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, Jeremy, Pastor Greg has learned to not go to every fight he's invited to. Maybe that applies. That's right. It does apply. It does apply. I also want to give a big shout out to Chris and Julie Green, who I will be living very close to very shortly. A lot of people have asked, is this move have anything to do with you and Julie? And the answer is no. It's a coincidence. I'm 100% telling you the truth. It is an absolute God miracle coincidence that we are going to be living near each other. Like, didn't even know she lived in the area that I'm moving to until I spoke with Chris and her about it. And I'm like, wow, God is on the move. Hallelujah. Right? So if you could do me a favor, share the video. We're going to get right to it, folks. I want to tell you a story about last night. Michael Gross says, give me a shout out, Jeremy. There you go, brother. Love you, man. Appreciate you. We're going to be talking about how we take compliments today and how we glorify God today. Because the two of them very much are married. Taking compliments, right? And glorifying God. Very much connected. So, before we get deep into the verses of the day, which I sent you guys a ton of verses in the newsletter this morning with no explanation, just a ton of verses. And I'd like you to open up that newsletter if you subscribe to it. If you don't subscribe to it, then you can definitely go to jeremyharrell.com and scroll to the bottom of the page and subscribe to the Revolution newsletter, okay? So here we go. Last night at 1:30 in the morning, I got up, go to the bathroom, wide awake. And again, I was beating myself up still for the way that I, you know, acted yesterday and how I let my anger finally get a hold of me again, which I've been able to kind of quell for a long time. And with the help of God and the Holy Spirit, only the help of God and the Holy Spirit, because no human can do that. Darth Mortis, the Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. True that. True that. So, I figured the only way, as I'm wide awake again in the middle of the night, to stop feeling that way is to just talk to God. So that's what I did. I started talking to God. Now, remember when I told you that when I write songs, I don't write. I'm inspired, you know, to make up a song and then I just remember it, right? I never, ever, ever not remember the songs that I'm inspired to write unless it happens in the middle of the night. And that's very understandable, right? Because you're groggy, it's the middle of the night, you make up a song, or you're inspired to write a song, and you're singing over and over in your head, and you're talking to God, and you pass out, and you go to sleep, you wake up, you forget it. So, there's been many times where I've been inspired to write a song in the middle of the night, and I can't even remember one word of it, let alone the tune, the cadence, the message behind it. But remember yesterday when we were talking about God is greater than any other thing that we cheer about? Well, that was what the song was about. I started talking to God last night, and I started praying, and I started asking for peace and relief from what I felt from my behavior. And do you know what he did? The first thing God told me was, first thing he said to me last night, and I woke my wife up this morning and told her we need to have this tonight. First thing he said is, you need to have a family meeting tonight. Okay, that's not what I was asking, but you know when God does that? When you try to talk to him about something and you try to ask him about something and he completely gives you an answer that you don't even understand and you're like, what are you talking? Like, I didn't even ask that question. I didn't even like refer to that. And then you sit there and you think about it and God continues to tell you the same thing. He told me first thing you need to have a family meeting tonight and you need to bring the family together under God. And I said, okay, that's the first thing you need to do. Now this is God probably knowing things about me that I don't know or recognize about myself. And he's telling me to do something. So I told Sabrina that this morning. She said, why? And I said, I don't know. She goes, you don't know? You're like telling everybody you want to get together at the dinner table at a certain time and speak and talk, right? And you don't know why? And I said, no, I don't know why. I guess I'll know why then. And she said, okay, that's called listening to Holy Spirit. So the second thing that happened was, as I'm sitting there talking to God and telling him I'm sorry for the way I acted and letting my anger get the best of me, all of a sudden, I start writing a song. I mean, not writing, but coming up with a song in my head. And I got to tell you, it was the greatest song that I had ever been inspired to create. It was far greater than Armor of God. I was like getting these tunes in my head that I can't even hit. So it wasn't even like it was a tune that I could sing. I would have had to get somebody else to sing this tune because I can't hit those notes. And I'm sitting there and I'm singing it over and over again in my head to God. I'm even whispering it, laying next to my wife who, you know, I don't want to wake her up, right? So I'm sitting there and I'm singing in my head this song. The song is beautiful and it's about how God is greater than everything. And I said to myself, oh my gosh, I can't forget this. I can't forget this. So I went over to grab my phone and like type it out in my notes section, and my phone had 1% on it. My phone had 1% on it. So it wouldn't allow me to type everything before it died. And I woke up this morning, as I always do when this happens, and I was so annoyed that I could not write it down. I was so annoyed that I couldn't remember it. I was sitting there drinking coffee and I was like, what was that? And I was trying to sing it over and over again and I couldn't even come up with it. And usually when that happens, I get so annoyed and angry. But you know what happened? I walked out of my house while I was thinking of that. I had my backpack on and I'm walking out of the house thinking to myself, ugh. Why was my phone dead? Why couldn't I write this down? It was the greatest song in the world because it was talking about how great God was. But I walked outside and I looked over and my flag on my house was like, you know when the flag is right in front of the sunrise? My flag's in front of the sunrise and I'm looking over there and I smile and I realize something for the first time in my life. When I get up in the mornings, early in the morning, and God inspires me to write a song, it isn't for you. And it isn't for me. You know how I always tell you that I'm performing for an audience of one? The reason why the phone was dead and the reason why I can't even remember one single second of it, and the reason why I didn't get up and write it down was because it was meant for God alone. And all that glory that I get upset about for not writing it down, that I could get the song out there and so much glory could come in, God said it was never for that. It was for you to give me glory. Because I inspired you to do that so that you could feel peace. And then I started thinking about worshiping God in heaven. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. We're going to be worshiping. And I thought, that's what it's like. That's what it's like. It's not about remembering. It's not about recording. It's not about singing it over and over again for somebody else. It's not about putting it on a track. It's not about putting it on a streaming service. It's not about singing it live for people. It was never about that. And that's why I can't remember it. It's like I have amnesia and I never forget songs that I'm inspired to write unless they are in the middle of the night for God. And it's only been like that since I got a grasp on my faith. And I realized, whoa. God wanted me to glorify him at 1:30 this morning so that I could feel peace from the actions against him the day before. Doesn't that blow your mind? When I do something bad, when I do something wrong, when I get angry, when I yell at somebody, when I go over the line or whatever it is that you want to call it, the person first and foremost that I am hurting is God. So I hurt God yesterday with all of that rhetoric, and then he comes back 12 hours later and says, "You hurt me, but I see you're hurt even more, and I'm going to give you something to stop your pain." The guy that I hurt gave me the tools that I needed to get rid of the pain, and the tool was glorifying him. If that does not tell you to go to the Bible when you are experiencing pain, I don't know what does. So when I walked out of the house this morning, not even realizing that that is what happened last night, but then I stepped outside and the sun was on my face and the flag was waving, and I looked up and I realized he told me right there, because it wasn't for you, and it wasn't for them, and it wasn't for Rise Up, and it wasn't for the world. It was for me, so I could give you peace. Mind blown. All glory goes to God. Not to me, not to the song. All glory goes to God. That was my 1:30 in the morning revelation. And I could not wait to share this with you today, because that revelation actually carried on all the way through coffee this morning, all the way through worship, all the way to my truck. It carried on all the way to here. And I'm just sitting there going, wow. Like, just wow. God will never cease to amaze or surprise you. I can tell you that. Jay Deeds, your check was sent to you, by the way. If it might take a while, the post office has been really bad lately. We pray that it gets there to you in a good time. Thank you all for your kind words. I appreciate it. Now, this is directly connected to taking a compliment, right? I could have come here today. Sanctified, where's my check? Yeah, I know, right? I could have come here today and I could have remembered that song. I could have written it down. My phone could have had plenty of juice in it, by the way, which it didn't for a reason. And I could have come here today and I could have sang that song to you, and you guys would have all in the chat said, "Good job, Jeremy. Great job. You have a gift. Awesome. You are so great to write that song. God's going to give you glory." And I would have read and read and read all these compliments to me. But you guys know how I take compliments, right? You guys know that I don't take compliments for myself ever. When somebody tells me, "Hey, I am so blessed that you did this for me," I say, "All glory goes to God. Don't give it to me. All glory goes to God. I had years and years of the glory. I had years and years of the attention. It's the last thing that I want now. I don't want it. I want to give that glory to God." Now, I want to show you something, and this is going to blow your mind. God showed me this. And of course, it's George Jenko, whom I've become just an absolute huge fan of, whom I love so very much. I want you to listen to this, because it's right up my alley, and I couldn't wait to share it with you. Go ahead. Let's roll this.
Time I would give you a compliment, it felt like it was like an uninvited compliment from you. You were the only person I've ever complimented where I was like, I'm done complimenting this man. I'm sitting and looking at the stars, and I see some stars are brighter than some, right? But they're still all beautiful. Just some are just a tad bit brighter. I believe in the eyes of God when he looks down, I think you're the brighter one because of what you do and like how passionate you are. And he just looked at me and goes, okay, And I was just like, I sat there and I prayed about it. I was like, there's a reason why he doesn't accept my compliments fully. You truly walk around thinking you're just the messenger. You don't want to take any of the glory. Yes, perfectly said. Like,
that's right.
You don't want to take any glory, and your actions show.
I often think about the donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Can you imagine with all those people waving the palms and throwing the garments in front of Jesus who was on the donkey? If the donkey would have thought, wow, they're really excited to see me.
Every time I would give you a compliment, it felt like...
That conversation between George and Cliff Netcher, which we watch all the time as well, blew my mind. He said, I often think of the donkey that Jesus rode in on, and they were throwing palm leaves down and flowers, and they were, you know, singing songs, and the donkey thought to himself, wow, they are really excited to see me. But the glory is Jesus's. The glory was God's. So to accept a compliment is great. You never want to reject somebody's compliment towards you. Ever, ever, ever. Ever. It's like rejecting a gift from them. You don't want to do that either. But what you do want to do is that when you take that compliment, you forward it like an email right to God. And you say it out loud. Why? Two reasons. One, God and Jesus tell us that God's greatness is shown to people and glorified through our works. So when somebody compliments you on something, you are to say, thank you so much. And I want to make sure that all that glory goes to my Father God in heaven. Because through him, we were created, and by him, everything good is given. So if I did something good to you, Jeremy Harrell did not do something good to or for you. Jeremy Harrell was the donkey who brought the message, who brought the word in. God did that good for you. God did that good for you. I didn't do that good for you. Grammy Love and Mad Tess and Miranda and Majogo, they didn't do that good for you. They brought the good to you. I am nothing more than a delivery driver. I'm an Uber driver. I'm a DoorDash driver of the word. Eli, that should be a shirt. I'm DoorDash in the word of God. How may I assist you today? Right? Put some wings on the DoorDash logo and change it up. Make it holy. So again, let me read for you the description of what I wrote, and then we'll read the verses that I gave you today. All right? It can be hard for many people to take compliments. Some people just don't want to take them at all because they're the people that don't want the attention. They don't want to be put in a spotlight. Others need them as some sort of validation to let them know that they are good enough or what they're doing is making people happy. This is a very important topic to speak on today because there's two different types of people. There's people who reject, actually there's three different types, excuse me. There is the people who reject it, the compliment completely. They're the people that take it and want more of it for themselves. Please tell me I'm good. That used to be me. And then there's the people that say, thank you so very much. However, comma, all that glory goes to God in heaven. Because God in heaven created all things, and God in heaven supplies everything that is good. Romans 8:28. Starting to know verses now. Uh-oh. All glory goes to God. U.S. Navy said, tried to send a rant, but it wouldn't let me. Very sorry to hear that. If you would rather rant through here instead of donating on jeremyharrell.com, just email support@rumble.com. Let them know your name and your email and what the problem it is you're having. It might be that you're not up to date on your app. It might be that you need to refresh or open up a different browser. I'm not sure. Door dashing the word. I like it, said Wild Root. I mean, that's all we are if you think about it. That's all we are. So we need to make sure that we are the ones that say, you know what? You are very welcome. But I couldn't have done that without God in heaven. So I just want to give the glory to him. And it's really that simple. They're not going to rebuke you. You just did something nice for them. If you do something wonderful for somebody and they rebuke you when you say, well, thank you for thanking me, but I'm going to give that to God. Well, then, ladies and gentlemen, they need a lot more help and you might need to stay on duty a little bit longer and help them a little bit more. Nobody is going to do that. Okay? Everybody is going to look at you when you say that, and nobody is going to be rude to you. And if they are, it'll be few and far between. You know what I mean? Yeah, J-Rock, that would be really cool. Maybe after the move. So let me address that real quick. I see a lot of people in here that don't know about the move or don't know why we're moving. I'd have to have a whole show to tell you why we're moving. First and foremost, G.H. Klein, yes, we do. We had a whole box of stuff that was delivered, and we took out letters and cards first, and now there's a box of stuff, and I know the patches are in there. I'll get to that. I'll try to get to that today and respond to you. I apologize. Things have been a little hectic here, as usual, and thank you for sending that. But first and foremost, the reason why we're moving is literally my father first. My mother, we know what my mother's going through, and my mother is actually doing very, very well, and she'll be 100% in no time. Eli's going to stay working here. You will not see any difference from me and Eli. And as a matter of fact, I'll be back here in this New Hampshire office once a month for about a week. We're moving out there first and foremost for my dad because he was, after a career of working on the railroad, he has now been put on disability. And I've never, ever been able to spend time with my father before, ever. And I don't want it to be too late. So this isn't a forever move. Maybe it is. I don't know. But God's calling us out there. All my family out there is, they don't not believe in God, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. But they're low-hanging fruit. They're very open to it. Julie Green happens to be living in the same area we're moving to. Didn't know that, by the way. Not why we're moving. So that was the first reason. The second reason was, I'm from there. My whole family, both sides of my family are from there, from that region. And none of my kids know any of my family. And I want them to know them before they become adults and never know them. And the third reason is the schooling there. The school district that we're taking our children to in a red state, thank you, finally, is one of the top 300 schools in the country. And our children, a couple of our children are excelling and needing, and some of them need to be skipping grades, to be honest, which is a great, great, awesome blessing from God, but also the opportunities for a couple of them to advance in their careers after high school are right there. Plus, it's 30% cheaper to live there than it is here. So we'll be saving money by moving there. So there's a lot of, and there's more reasons than that. The company's still going to stay the company. We're just going to kind of put together a studio out there. Eli will come out there and work sometimes. I'll come out here and work every month. But really, for the business, we're going to be centrally located. And I'm going to be able to do so much more on the road. We're going to be able to have meet and greets. We're going to be able to do live shows places. We're thinking about taking LFA TV on the road once in a while. And for me to be centrally located during a campaign year, and as rather than all the way up here in the Northeast, it's just time for a change. That's all. It's really just that simple. And we're very excited about it. And the company will actually grow. But here's the best thing. The message and the truth will be spread further. And we'll be only 6 hours from the Ark and the Creation Museum. So ladies and gentlemen, get ready for a heck of a 2024. And we're doing that in June, by the way, just so you all know. I know I never really dug deep into it, but that's kind of the 5,000-foot overview. And really, this is the Lord directing our steps. I didn't even want to do this at first, did I, Eli? It was the last thing in the world I wanted to do. God said, keep going. Keep going. You have to. And I think it's to spread the gospel. I really do. I think I've kind of limited where I can spread the gospel here now. So, yeah, heading out there. And, yeah, it'll help LFA expand if that's God's will too, 100%. And we're moving to Iowa. So we'll be in the center of the country, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm ready for Eli. I'm ready for meet and greets. I'm ready for live shows. And Eli's ready to do some traveling, ladies and gentlemen. So, all right. I want to get into the verses of the day. I put a ton of them in there, by the way. Put a ton of them in there, and I'd like to read them for you now. If you can open up your, if you can please open up your verses of the day today. Oh, Bad Moon, he'll be just fine. He'll be just fine. Actually, Eli and I will actually be basically working in the same office still, because we're going to have a video feed up all day from the time we both get into each studio until the time we're done. And we're going to have TVs looking at each other. So we're going to be basically, you know, in the same studio still. It will be no different really for us. We'll still be talking all day long. You know, he'll still be able to save my butt when graphics go wrong. Right. Godchick says, go Eli and Liz. Well, you know, the Lord directs everybody's steps a different way. Right. So, anyway, let's please get to today, ladies and gentlemen, the verses of the day, not just the verse of the day. And let me read them out for you. This is all about giving glory to God. All about giving glory to God, okay? 1 Corinthians 10:30. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Oh, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if I ever decide to run for Congress, if I run for Congress, do you know how easy it would be able for me to win in a red state like Iowa than it is here in New Hampshire? I would be able to win with ease in a red state of common sense conservative Christians. So, you know, maybe that's where God's directing my steps to. I don't know. Psalm 115:1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory for the sake of your steadfast love and faithfulness. Revelation 4:11, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your will, they existed and were created. Beautiful, huh? For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I think that's the one right there, right? That is the one. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others. So if you do something good for somebody, or somebody does something good for you, they are letting their light shine on you. And by you accepting that light and giving that glory to God, you are letting your light shine. See what I'm saying? So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It's all about that. Every compliment, every good thing you do, it all has to be in the name of God. When somebody says, you changed my life, if it wasn't for you, I would be X, Y, and Z. Say, no. I want to thank you for that. And I'm so grateful to be a part of your success story. However, that glory goes to God. He's the one who did this, not me. And I just wanted to share that with you. Boom, it's that simple. And you have just shared the gospel in ways you could never imagine through your works. Second Peter 3:18. You don't. Lee says I can't keep up with the verses. I can't find them in the Bible fast enough. That's okay. If you sign up for the newsletter, you have them all there, and you can go back and read them. Okay. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and on the day of eternity. Amen. Revelation 14:7. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him the glory, because the hour of judgment has come, and worship him who has made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs and the water. Ladies and gentlemen, I could keep going and going and going and going. It's all about giving glory to God, always, all the time, never stopping. No matter what you do, no matter what somebody thanks you for, it's truly a beautiful thing. And that thing with George and Cliff, I mean, when he said, I often think of the donkey, and I don't think the donkey was sitting there going, wow, these people are really excited to see me. That's like the perfect. Lee says, how do I sign up for the newsletter? Go to jeremyharrell.com, and go down to the bottom of the page, and you'll see sign up for the Revolution newsletter. KC22 just put it in there. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I saw this video where this homosexual pastor named Brandon Robertson gets absolutely dismantled by this person named Vodal Bachman or Bachum. And I thought it was interesting, especially considering the world that we're in right now and how we do have to, even though we have to be lights, and we have to be Christians, and we have to be firm and fair. We also have to be strong, and we have to have a, you're not going to cross this line without us saying something type of thing. You know what I mean? And that glory goes to God too. Glory just doesn't always mean when things are great. You standing up in the face of adversity, you standing up to oppression and people trying to pervert the word of God, that's giving glory to God too. It isn't only in the good things. It's about your trials as well. So
one of the questions I get asked all the time as a queer Christian theologian and pastor is, how do you reconcile your queer identity with the Bible and with the Christian faith? First and foremost, acknowledging that there are only 6 verses that address homosexuality in the hundreds of thousands of verses that make up the Bible says how little this topic actually impacts the broad narrative of Christian faith. And it shows just how disproportionate Christians have been in putting this emphasis on homosexuality, something that the Bible almost never mentions.
What? I'm sure that most, if not all of you, are familiar with this wolf in sheep's clothing right here.
Acknowledging that there are only 6 verses that address homosexuality in the hundreds of thousands of verses that make up the Bible says how little this topic actually impacts the broad narrative of Christian faith.
Yep, that's Brandon Robertson, ladies and gentlemen. He's the very same pastor that has made similar videos making statements such as Jesus was a racist and Lazarus' resurrection was a metaphor for coming out of the closet as gay. But once again, Pastor Vodi Bachum of Vodi Bachum Ministries has a scathing message for Robertson and all false teachers that are on the pulpit and especially on social media. So let's go ahead and check out a snippet from that sermon. And of course, as usual, I will catch you guys on the other side.
Wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to the lust of their hearts to impurity. Here we are. These lusts, these desires, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Dishonorable passions. The desires themselves are dishonorable. Enough already with this gay Christian stuff.
You can't donate to...
Oh, look at that. A message from Donald Trump right in the middle of that. How perfect was that? How perfect was that? But he's right. Enough with this. Enough with this. It's not about being inclusive and about, look, I don't want to be inclusive with that type of cancerous sin. I just don't. Now, can I be inclusive in spirit? Can I talk to those people? Can I be friends with those people? Can I spread the gospel to those people? Can I love those people? The answer is 100% unequivocally yes. But am I going to be a part of that? Am I going to allow that kind of preaching? Am I going to allow that kind of cancer to spread? It's the same thing if somebody was out there saying, we need to kill all people or murder all babies. I would stand up to that too. It's not just because of gay. It's because of what that specific and particular sin does to communities and children. And we have to stand up against it. Rosebud said, Jeremy, my husband is now hooked on Rise Up. Will you tell your husband that I am hooked on this Godcast as well? We have to. And by doing that, respectfully, sometimes I don't. We all know that. You know what I mean? I think Drew Hernandez and myself could all take a little bit of a lesson from Will Johnson when it comes to how to deal with certain people and not letting anger get a hold of you. Myself and Drew, our passion is in the right place. Our hearts are a little bit maybe not in the right place. When we start going after these people who are perverting the word, Will Johnson is always my, he kind of helps steer me back as well. But it is true. We do have to stand up to this stuff. 100%. And that glorifies God as well. That glorifies God as well. Ladies and gentlemen, I have something, I think. I do. I have something specifically for you. And I'm going to read it to you in the last few minutes of our show, and here's what I'll tell you. You're going to want to get your tissues, okay? You're going to want to get your tissues. I just want you guys to understand why all glory goes to God. I want you guys to understand why we give everything to God, even when we are thanked, okay? this is one of those difficult things to read. And this morning it was difficult for me, and it's going to be difficult for me now, but I'm going to try to get through this. At the age of 33, Jesus was condemned. Make sure you have your tissues ready, folks, okay? At the age of 33, Jesus was condemned. At the time of crucifixion, at that time, crucifixion was the worst death. Only the most horrible criminals were condemned to be crucified. And it was even more dreadful for Jesus than a regular crucifixion like others were experiencing at that time. Both of his feet were nailed together. He was forced to support himself on the single nail that impaled his feet to the cross. Jesus could not support himself with his legs because of the pain. So he was forced to alternate between arching his back and then using his legs just to continue to breathe. Imagine the struggle. Imagine the pain. Imagine the suffering. More importantly, imagine the courage. Jesus endured this reality for over 3 hours. Before the nails and the spear, Jesus was whipped. Jesus was beaten. The whipping was so severe that it tore the flesh from his body. The beating was so horrific that his face was torn and his beard was ripped from his face. The crown of thorns cut deeply into his scalp. he had no more blood to bleed out. So eventually only water poured from his wounds. The human adult body contains about 3.5 liters of blood. Just less. Had to read that word there. I couldn't see it. Just less than a gallon of blood. He had no blood left, folks. Out of a gallon of blood in our bodies, he had none left. He bled out all of his blood during the beatings, not to mention the humiliation that he suffered after carrying his own cross while the crowd spat in his face, kicked him, pushed him down, and threw rocks at his head. Jesus had to endure this experience to open the gates of heaven so that you and I can have free access to God. He was the perfect sacrifice. Thank you for taking our punishment, Jesus. Thank you for bleeding out every drop of blood. When somebody says he shed his blood for us, he shed all of his blood for us. Thank you for being our bridge to heaven. And that is why we give all glory to God. And that's why we have joy. Ladies and gentlemen, I love you so much. Thank you so much. I'm going to leave you with this at the end of the show as we started. Kevin Smith and Loud Majority comes up next. And I'll see you. I mean, Mike Crispy. I thought it was 11 o'clock, 11 o'clock show. My bad. Mike Crispy and Unafraid comes up next. Eli looked at me. Thank you guys for being here. I'll see you at 11. Bye-bye. For he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And there is freedom, freedom for the captives. Oh, oh, that's why we need the joy.